Krishna. So we are glad to have with us today the speaker. We have His Grace Vraj Mohan Prabhu. Vraj Mohan Prabhu has done his engineering from IIT, and he went on to do his post-graduation from Chicago in the US. He did his post-graduation in nanophysics, and then he went to he joined BARC in Bombay and worked there for some time before he finally decided to join the temple and serve here full time. So let us welcome him in our traditional style by loudly chanting three times.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13, text number 24 and 25. So we'll recite text 24. Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvata vartamanopi nasabhuyo abhijayate. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Purport. Clear understanding of material nature, the super soul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor, in association with authorities, saintly persons, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain that he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful eternal life of knowledge. We are continuing with text 25.
Dhyanenatmani pashyanti kechidatmanamatmana anye sankyena yogena karma yogena chapare.
Translation. Some perceive the super soul within themselves through meditation, others through cultivation of knowledge, and still others through working without fruitive desires. Purport. The Lord informs Arjuna that the conditioned souls can be divided into two classes as far as man's search for self-realization is concerned. Those who are atheists, agnostics, and skeptics are beyond the sense of spiritual understanding. But there are others who are faithful in their understanding of spiritual life, and they are called introspective devotees, philosophers, and workers who have renounced fruitive results. Those who always try to establish the doctrine of monism are also counted among the atheists and agnostics. In other words, only the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are best situated in spiritual understanding, because they understand that beyond this material nature are the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is expanded as the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone, the all-pervading Godhead. Of course, there are those who try to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth by cultivation of knowledge, and they can be counted in the class of the faithful. The Sankhya philosophers analyze this material world into 24 elements, and they place the individual soul as the 25th item. When they are able to understand the nature of the individual soul to be transcendental to the material elements, they are able to understand also that above the individual soul there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the 26th element. Thus, gradually they also come to the standard of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those who work without fruitive results are also perfect in their attitude. They are given a chance to advance to the platform of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Here it is stated that there are some people who are pure in consciousness and who try to find out the super soul by meditation. And when they discover the super soul within themselves, they become transcendentally situated. Similarly, there are others who also try to understand the supreme soul by cultivation of knowledge. And there are others who cultivate the Hatha Yoga system and who try to satisfy the supreme personality of Godhead by childish activities. I take this opportunity to welcome all of you for the evening Bhagavad Gita class being held at ISKCON Chowpatty Temple. Today we are discussing Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13, the nature, the enjoyer and the consciousness, text number 24 and 25. And also seek blessings from all of you so that we can properly enter into the mysteries of Bhagavad Gita, because to enter into the mysteries of Bhagavad Gita is not through intelligence but through by proper submission and service. So Srila Prabhupada, who is the main force for all the conclusions which we are having, has broken this, has given us a proper understanding of this verse. So he is first of all telling us what is real knowledge, because most of us going through the education system think that trying to gain some control over some elements is knowledge. But whereas Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says that to gain some control is not knowledge, but actually it is ignorance. But to understand that we actually are subordinate to the control of the material nature, as Krishna is explaining here, is real knowledge. Like Jayadvaita Maharaj, he says that many times people think that self-realization means to think that you become God. Oh, I have become self-realized, so now I have become Bhagavan. But real self-realization is to understand that we are not God, we are not the controllers, but we are subordinate to the Supreme Lord's will. And here the Lord gives a very hope-giving word, which he says is sarvata vartamanopi. He says, no matter what position a person may be in, he can attain the success. Like in the normal knowledge system, it takes at least 25 years or 30 years to get a degree or get a job. A first year standard boy, he cannot get a PhD or he cannot get a job in IBM, because he has to go through the whole process, or at least he has to have some qualifications. But whereas in the transcendental system of this universe, as today morning Radhika Vallabhpur was saying, it is not just information based, it is based on a person's realization. So this verse, Srila Prabhupada, in the conversations with Dr. Patel, he is saying sarvata vartamanopi, no matter what condition one is in, he can get success. Like today there are so many books that how to become millionaire in 7 days, or tips to become millionaire. So people want to buy, because no matter what position one is in, he wants to attain success. The same way, if you want to attain success, there is a simple formula, that is to understand that we are not the controllers of this, of the entire whatever is in our gamut. And to explain this, His Holiness Hridayan Maharaj, he gives a very beautiful story, that there was once a person by the name, John Arbon. And he basically wants to acquire a city, that like all of us, most of us here are not from Bombay. Most of us come to Bombay because, you know, okay, this, if I go to this city, my senses may get pleasure, or maybe I can feed my family better. The same way this person, John Arbon, he was going to different cities. There were some cities which were just made in the air. So he tried to go to this aerial cities which were not on ground, and he tried to experience pleasure there. He tried to become the controller there. But somehow he was not completely happy. And then he thought, maybe these aerial cities are not so good. Let me go into aqua cities. So he went into deep, there were cities situated inside the deep oceans. So he went into this ocean cities. And there also he tried to experience that thing which he was always looking for. But somehow he was not happy. And he was like this, going to different cities. Different cities. And finally one day, he landed up in a very unique city, which was quite different and quite advanced than all other cities. And this city, he finally took shelter. He finally came there and he started living there. And slowly as he started living there, he saw that many of the people who are there in that city, almost everyone was treating him as their master. Oh, you are our master. So he got more happy. Now finally I come to a city where it is not only giving me shelter, but I am getting what I want. I want to control, and they have given me the means. Center of this city, which is the heart, they have given me the palace and they have given me the city's control. But something unique was in that city, which was always not, he was not able to understand. There were some soldiers who were always wandering in that city, and they used to were dressed in black and dark clothes. Some soldiers were dressed in black clothes, some soldiers were dressed in white clothes. So he could not understand what is this variation in colors. And then there was a court assembly, and then they ruled, okay, this particular variation in colors, white and black, it actually brings a lot of color to the city. It is not just boring. Like sometimes we see same person wearing the same uniform, you get bored. Like what happened in London, devotees were doing Harinam. And as they were doing Harinam, they were caught by the police and they were taken to the court. That these people are disturbing the peace of the stay or the city. Then the judge, he ruled the case against those police, and he said, actually these people, they are dressed in this saffron clothes and they are dancing. So this uniqueness brings color to our city. So let them keep going on, because it adds color. There is variety. So let them keep chanting the holy names. So same way this John Arbon and his whole cabinet ministry, they decided, okay, let these soldiers be there because they are adding color to our city. Not only that, whenever John wanted some comforts, they would provide that. Say someday the sun was not quite hot as he wanted, it was cold. Then he would ask the soldiers, and the soldiers would make the sun appear more hotter. Or some days they would take him to a place which he was very wonderful, the wonderful scenery was there. So he thought, okay, these soldiers are for my protection, they are my soldiers. And he was living nicely, and there were a lot of restaurants in this city. And he used to go and roam all over this city. But one day he went to a very unique place, which he never visited. After a long time, he thought, okay, this one particular place I have never visited. so let me go and visit. But it was little far from the far end of the city, like in Bombay. Whole from Virar to Churchgate is Bombay city. But unless we have some work, we will not have curiosity, okay, what is there in Virar to go and see. So same way, this John Arbon, the king of this city, he said, thought, let me go to the northern side of the city and let me watch what is there. So as he was going, he went out of the main heart of the city, he crossed the external boundaries, and as he approached, there he saw a big boat. The boat said that there was a big institution in that part of the city where he never visited. And he was quite surprised that how come I am the king of this city, I am the mayor, and nobody told me that there is such a city, that there is such a university. And the name of this place was City Academy. And he was more surprised because he was into so many cities previously, but none of the cities, this City Academy was there. Most cities were having a lot of pleasure restaurants, they were having nice places to play good games, they were having places where they can have some nice meetings. So this place was unique. So he entered into this City Academy. Let me see what is there in this city, in this City Academy. It said City Academy, a place of knowledge. So he went inside this city, this academy, and there there were students going around, and there he found one young lady. She was sitting and she was doing some work, and as soon as he came near her, she called her name, his name. "Oh, John Arbon, I was waiting for you. Welcome to the City Academy." Said, how come you know me?" Said, "I'm your friend. I've been knowing you since so many cities." And she introduced herself that, "My name is Buddhi. My name is Buddhi, and I take care of this City Academy." And then she started talking to him. And he had some questions. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. He had some questions which he was always curious, he could not understand. He told that some soldiers are always moving around my city, and seems that they are very nice to me, but I just could not understand their behavior. They supply whatever I want, these soldiers, these black and white soldiers, and they are 365 in number, each of them. So the Buddhi said, "Actually, they are not your soldiers. They are the soldiers of the Central Time Command. There is a particular community called Central CTC, Central Time Command, who is actually posted all these soldiers in different cities. Like United States has posted so many soldiers into so many cities. Like Vietnam, there are so many US soldiers you will find previously. Now in Israel and so many countries, the US soldiers have been posted. So same way, the CTC has posted all these soldiers in your city, and at the end they are going to destroy your city." So he's quite horrified that, "No, these people are actually helping me. They get me whatever I want. And sometimes, some enemy attacks, they are the one in fact who first go and kill these enemies. So I'm quite happy with them. But why are you telling that they are going to destroy my city?" Said, "I'm just telling you what I know." Then he came out of this academy thinking, "This lady, she's not my friend. Maybe she wants to break, divide and rule policy. Maybe she wants to take over my city." So then our friend John Arbon, he went to a nearby place, and there he saw another place. But this was quite different from the city academy. This was a forest by the name Meta Forest. And there he entered into this forest, and there he saw a lot of drying trees. There are a lot of trees which were getting dried up. It appeared that almost they were going to die. And on top of one tree, there was a man holding a water gun. The water gun is like a pipe with which you pour water. And this man, he was climbing each tree and he was trying to water each particular leaf. So the John Urban called out, "Hey gardener, what are you doing up there? Come down and pour the water in the roots. That is not the way." "Oh, that was the old ways, to water the roots. Now modern science has evolved. Now that system is that you have to go up and water the leaves. That's the best way." "No, but see, all these trees are getting dried up, don't you see?" And as he was saying, one of the trees broke and fell down. "So, see, I told you that this is not the way. You have to water the roots." "Oh, see, when you do some endeavor, you will not get 100% success. So, on the average, all these trees will survive. One or two trees here will go away. But by modern science, we have found out that the best way to water the tree is to leaves." So he could not convince this man, although he was his subordinate. And then he came out. And he was thinking about himself, that is this the same thing which is happening to me? Maybe I am also watering the leaves. Maybe I am not watering the root of my existence. That's why maybe I am unhappy. So what is the really root of my existence? Am I the root of this city, or is there someone? And he went back and he started again. Sometimes these thoughts used to come to his mind, to the John Urban, that who made this city? I was just wandering all across and suddenly I came across into this city. So who actually made this city? And is just like other cities got destroyed, is this city also going to get destroyed? Whenever these thoughts used to come into his mind, he used to think, "Don't get too philosophical. Don't be too philosophical. Don't become a philosopher. Life is there, enjoy. There are so many pleasure groves in this city. Go and enjoy, go and party. Why are you thinking?" So then he again stopped thinking about all these questions. And our friend John Urban, one day he found out that there was a rumor going on in all across this his palace. And when he heard this rumor, he was totally shocked. And what was the rumor which was going on? That the rumor which was going on was that he was not the king of the city. So he was so disturbed by this rumor that he immediately went back to City Academy to meet her friend Buddhi. And he went and met her. "All across my palace, there is a big rumor going on that I am not the king of the city anymore." Then Buddhi said, "Yes, I knew that. In fact, before I told you, you went." And John Urban said, "In fact, they are saying that there is a friend of mine whom I have not met for long, who has actually made this city. And not only that the rumor says that this friend who has made this city is staying right in my palace, in one of the inner chambers. But somehow, I have known this chamber for long, but somehow I don't feel like going there. Whenever I try to go there is so much light there that I just come out. I feel that as soon as I start approaching this chamber, this inner chambers, a feeling comes into my mind that I am not the controller of this city. And I don't want this controllership to go from my hands. So therefore, I never entered into this chamber because this feeling comes into my mind that I am not the controller. And a similar story is there in Ramayana, that when Lord Ravan was trying to seduce Sita Devi to marry him, he was trying so many tricks. Once he brought the head of a mystical head of Ram cut and said, "See, I have killed your lord. Now you should surrender." So many tricks he was trying. So once Mandodari, his wife, she told him, "I will give you an idea. Although I don't support you, I'll give you an idea. Why don't you take the form of Lord Ram and go in front of Sita? Because if you do like that, then Sita Devi, she is naturally attracted to Lord Ram and you have the powers to become Lord Ram. So then naturally you will attract her." So then Ravan said, "That won't work. Don't you think that I didn't think about that plan? I long back thought about that plan. But for that plan to work, there is a system. In the Vedic times, there was this mystic power by which you could take somebody else's form. But the process of doing that was to think about that form. Say a yogi wants to become a pigeon. So he has to meditate on the form of the pigeon and chant certain mantras. And then he assumes the form of the pigeon. See, something like what happens at death. At the death, it is something what you think you become. So whatever is happening at the time of death, that you become. The same procedure the yogis can capture, can control. So Ravana, he said, "So for me to do the same thing, what I have to do? If I have to become Lord Ram, then I have to think of Lord Ram. Right? I have to meditate. And as soon as I start meditating on Lord Ram, then I cannot see Sita as an enjoyer. Sita appears to me like a mother to me. So, what is the point? Even as soon as I start thinking about Ram, Sita doesn't appear to be as an object of enjoyment. She appears to be a mother. So, there is no point of me doing that activity because the whole point is to enjoy. The same way this person, this John Arbon, whenever he was trying to approach that inner chambers, this feeling that I am not the controller, I am not the enjoyer was coming. And he didn't want to give up that position or that feeling. So he never went inside. And his friend Buddhi told him that don't worry, he's your friend. It's not that he will take over you and you will become his slave. He is your forgotten friend. And a friend never exploits another friend. So therefore, don't worry. You just try to approach him. So let me see. I'll try. And then again he goes back. And again he forgets about all this philosophy, about his forgotten friend. And again he tries to enjoy life. But as he's enjoying life, it has been quite some time. He has been ruling this city. And he found that the soldiers who were there in this city, the black and white soldiers, they were no more behaving the way he wanted. Sometimes they used to come before he wanted them to come. Like sometimes the black-white soldier used to come before that stipulated time. Or sometimes he wanted to go somewhere, to some gateway. But, and he was stopped that you are not, that there is some repair going on in this highway, you are not supposed to enter. And this city had 9 gates, 9 gateways, 9 highways, which used to take to different avenues of pleasure. So slowly these soldiers started becoming heavier on the king. And then he started realizing that actually they may be controlling me. So he went and met the commander of these soldiers, and he asked them that, initially when I came into the city, you are all so friendly and you are all doing whatever I wanted. Even if sometimes some highway was not clear, you used to make way for me so that I can go and enjoy. But now you are blocking me so many times. Why is it that? And are you under me or are you under someone else? So then he says that actually we are not your soldiers. We have been put in all cities by a central agency called CTC, Central Time Command, to undertake all the city's activities. Without us, you cannot do anything. And we are the one who is controlling the city. So he got very horrified. And he had a cabinet meeting with all his secretaries and he said that tomorrow we will have a rally within the city saying that we are going to abandon, we are going to remove these soldiers from our city. So he had a big rally telling that these soldiers are no more helping us, so we want them to vacate. And during the address, he said that all of you citizens, I see sometimes you are not being cared for properly nowadays. So I plan to have a cosmetic surgery for all of you. I plan to operate all of your organs, all of your buildings, so that you can all work properly. Because all this city is me. I am this city. He became so emotional that he started saying that the city is me and I am the city. So whatever happens in the city, it happens to me. So he got very attached to the city. And in this metaphor of this whole thing, the city represents our body. That this John Urban is like a soul who is going to different cities or bodies. Like first I told that he goes to aerial city, which is like birds, which mostly live in air. And then he goes to aquatic cities, which are like ocean living entities, like fishes, whales, other living entities. And finally, traveling to so many cities, he finally comes to this city of nine gates. Like this, all the holes in our body, they are considered to be like gates. Gates for pleasure. Like, suppose you didn't have these gates, these venues, if you not had eyes, would you have experienced pleasure of vision? A blind man cannot experience that. So, we have nine gates, five mainly, like two, and this five, then seven, and then in the down, there are two more holes. So total there are nine gates, and through these nine gates we experience, through gateways we experience pleasure. But as time goes by, slowly these highways start blocking up. There is a lot of traffic. The eyes start dwindling. We cannot see properly, or the ears cannot hear. So that is what was happening in this amazing novel which was made by Hridayan Maharaj, that this John Urban was seeing that many gateways were getting closed up. Some gateways were not even opening up. So like sometimes old men cannot hear. I had a grandmother who was like 95 years old. She was not able to talk, not able to see, not able to hear. She was just lying on the bed. And all the sons, they were also old, like 60, 70. And slowly, one day she died, nobody even knew. So this body which supposedly gives us pleasure, ultimately is not, because we think that we are the controller of this body. But this, and the buddhi or intelligence is always telling her. Once in a while we go to the northern part, our brain, and try to think, why all this is happening. And John Urban, again he goes to Buddhi, her friend, and asks her that, I see that these soldiers, these time soldiers, are becoming heavier and heavier every day. I'm not able to bear them. And she says, come, I'll take you to another place. And she takes him to a lake. And as soon as he starts approaching this lake, he starts hearing a lot of cries. Some children are crying. So he cannot understand what is happening. Why they are crying. He says, I am the king of this city. I have to protect my citizens. Who is crying? So let me go and see. So he goes to this lake. And at the edge of this lake, there is a huge mango tree. And this mango tree has got a lot of fruits, mango fruits. But these children, somehow, they were seeing these mango fruits in the water, in the lake. And they were jumping and trying to get those fruits inside the water. And as soon as they were going, the fruits were vanishing. So they were crying, I wanted the fruit, where did it go? Like sometimes in children, they want the moon. I want moon, I want moon. So the mother, what she does, at least earlier times, she used to take a plate, fill it with water, and show the reflection of the moon to the child. See, you can hold the moon now. And the child was very happy. Oh, moon is in my hands. But it's actually reflection. The same way these boys, they were crying because they didn't want to hold, but they wanted to eat. And not just to taste, but they were actually hungry. And John Urban again got a thought. Is this what I am also doing? I am also trying to experience Reflection City. So he turned to her friend Buddhi and said, is the city where I am living, is that a reflection city? And Buddhi said, yes, that is a reflection city, that is a temporary city. That your real home is not there, and therefore it is being controlled by others. And if you really want to go to your real home, then you should go and meet your forgotten friend. The friend who is in the inner chambers of your heart. And she tried to explain, the intelligence again tried to explain, Buddhi tried to again explain, that don't think that if you give up this sense of proprietorship, you will be unhappy. Like all of our knowledge, why we study is so that we can control things, we can control people. Some people, some of my friends, they spend 5-6 years after their BTEC to study IAS exam, to become a collector, because that gives so much controllership. Of course, some genuine friends of mine, they are actually wanting to introduce Vedic system of ruling. But most is to get control, or a doctor, or anyone. That control is our main, that we think that by acquiring that, we can become happy. So Buddhi tried to tell our friend, John Urban, that give up this tendency and try to approach your friend. And that's where what Krishna says, ya evam veti purusham, that you should know who is the purusha, who is the real enjoyer, who is the real controller. Our whole problem is that we think I am the enjoyer. And once you understand who is the real enjoyer, who is the real controller, then immediately you will be liberated from this city of 9 gates. And how to approach that friend? Can I meet him directly, go and meet him? Unfortunately, this ego is so strong and the coverings are so thick that we cannot penetrate so easily. Therefore, Prabhupada here says that we have to have personal endeavor, but along with the association of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Along with these three, if we have this three association, right association, then we can overcome our barriers to give up this tendency and go. And there is a nice story which is told, the power of association, that once there was a thief in a kingdom, and he got to know that there was a sadhu sangha, that the king has called for all the sadhus to come to the palace. So the king thief thought, let me see, maybe sadhu is giving some gifts to the sadhu. The king is maybe giving some gifts. So let me go and collect them. Agar kuch bhi nahi milega, to at least khana to mil jayega. So he thought, I'll get at least some nice royal food. So he went there, and lot of sannyasis had come, yogis had come, sadhus had come. So they were all sitting. And as soon as they were all sitting, the king came and he went and spoke to the first row of people who are the sannyasis. And he told them that, I have come here, I have called all of you because my daughter, she wants to marry some saintly person. So I thought, I'll invite everybody in the kingdom, and whoever agrees, they can marry. And don't think that, mujhe to kuch job nahi hai, what will happen? Where will I, how will I maintain? So he said, I will give half of my kingdom, whoever marries. So this, all the sannyasis, as soon as they heard this, they got up and they walked away. Said, we thought you will hear some Krishna Katha, but here you are doing some other thing. So they left. So thief became happy. They don't know what is the real treasure. So here I am getting both wife and also getting property, king. So he waited. The other yogis, they also left. That we are already married and we have our families. We don't want any more wealth. We are happy with what we have. We thought you are going to have some Krishna Katha here, some sadhu sangha, so we came. So like that, slowly, slowly everybody was living. And when the turn came to the... Before that, this thief was actually dressed in like a thief clothes. But he saw that slowly, slowly everybody is going out. So he thought, let me become a sadhu. So, kahin se to deer skin leke aaya. He put the deer skin and he went and sat there like a yogi. And he came and he asked, the king asked this thief also, can you please take this proposal? And by this time, the thief's mind had changed. He started thinking that all these people are giving up all this. That means they must be having something better to do. So he said, I also don't want your proposal. I don't want your kingdom. If your kingdom was good, why will they reject? And if your daughter was good, why will they reject? There must be some problem. And he also left. I thought, I'll go with these sadhus. They are having something better to do. So this thief actually came for some other purpose. But because of the association, strong association, seeing their level of spiritual advancement, he also got some reflection of that. Therefore, Lord Shiva, he glorifies that. Tulayana lavenapi na sargam na punarbhavam. If you try to compare the association of devotees to getting heavenly planets or even getting liberation, it cannot be compared. And even if you compare, it is equal to lavena, an insignificant portion. Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam Kit Kim Utashisha. To get the association of somebody who is connected to Bhagavat, Bhagavan, Krishna, Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. For a Martya, Martya means mortal, one who is about to die or one who will die for sure. For him, what better benediction is there than to meet somebody who can take him out of this whole thing, of this all these cities and wars, and take him to a real home. So, the way to meet that our forgotten friend who is in our inner chambers is through the association of devotees. Because through that we can give up. Otherwise, there are many people in the past who thought, I will go and meet my friend, I will go and meditate. And they used to go to Himalayas to meditate and go in deeper, go and meet their friend. But because the barriers are so strong of sense enjoyment and controllership, that it was said that many of these sages, they could not come back, because now they have given up their families and they have gone to north to practice austerities. So instead, they went to the other part of the Himalayas and they made a kingdom there. So therefore, Russia comes from the word Rishi. They are the Rishis who artificially tried to renounce but could not find their friend. So they went to the other side and tried to start again a new kingdom. So that's one of the origins. So it is not easy to meet those, our forgotten friend, because there are so many barriers. And therefore Lord Krishna in the next verse, he says, in the next two verses he actually says how different people try to go into that barrier, cut through the barriers. Says some perceive the super soul within themselves through meditation, some try to do dhyana yoga to see the super soul, who is our forgotten friend, who is the real owner of this city, who made this city and gave as a gift to us. We didn't make this city, we didn't make this body. And some try to do through Sankhya yoga, philosophical understanding, try to understand through philosophy that I am not this, I am not that. Like our Gurudas Prabhu, he told once that Prabhupada was speaking in the class that we are not the body, we are eternal spirit soul. So once he was on one of the streets of New York, he went to buy something and he was thinking that Prabhupada told me this, that I am not the body. So he saw a wall in front of him, that if I am not the body, I can walk through the wall like so many yogis do. So he started repeating to himself what Prabhupada said, I am not the body, I am not the body. And he started walking towards the wall. And he was so confident on the Prabhupada's words that he walked straight through. And he banged to the wall and he got a bump. Like recently one of our devotees, he was in one kirtan program and he needed some instrument which was kept inside the apartment. So he started running inside. And on the way there was a glass wall. It was so transparent he could not see it. So he ran through it and he broke, the whole glass fell on him. Like he ran through it and he fell on the other side. And the whole glass fell on, and he still is suffering. He has a bump here and there. So as soon as Gurudas Prabhu struck this wall, he had a big bump. He thought, maybe I am the body. Maybe Prabhupada is not the body. So it is not easy just by philosophical understanding to go over these barriers and to meet our friend. And there is other is by Nishkama Karma Yoga, by trying to give up the fruits of our work. And ultimately it is the devotion, it is the relationship. Like if you want to meet the Prime Minister of India, you cannot just meet him just like that. You have to have somebody who can introduce you to him. Maybe his friend or maybe his son who can introduce you to him. The same way, if you want to meet our friend, we need somebody who has broken those barriers and can go and meet him inside. So such a person is a guru or a Vaishnava who can connect us back to our real friend. And in the meanwhile, these processes of dhyana, all this can be properly engaged. Like dhyana, nowadays meditation, people think on meditate on some red light or meditate on some candle light, different lights they propose. But originally dhyanena tadgata, that meditation has to be focused internally on the form of God inside, which is the Paramatma or the Super Soul. And the meditation starts from the feet of the Lord. So in the Bhagavatam, there is nice description of the whole form of the Lord, that how the form of Lord is explained. And it starts from the feet to the top. And recently I was at one program arranged for trying to get attention and for the social work on the face of ISKCON. We were trying to meet some people. So some film actors had come for the inauguration. So with the film actors, all that, this video camera, all these people came. And there was a screen, PPT screen, because not everybody could watch. Only there was like a huge group was watching, because the next day their movie was getting released. So everybody was curious. The whole mall came to see them. So there was a PPT, there was a screen in which they were being shown. So as soon as they came, a glimpse was shown, and then immediately the video camera focused on their feet and started going up till their whole body is covered. And this is just a diversion of what we do in the temple. Like first we focus on the, we just get a glimpse first, and then we focus, meditate on gradually from the feet to the top. So in the 10th canto, in the gopis, they are meditating on the Lord Krishna's feet. It has many symbols, and the symbols are very important for us to meditate when we see the form of the Lord. So there are in total 19 symbols on the form of the Lord, which itself will take long hours, but I'll just tell 4 or 5 of these symbols and how they break the barriers between us and to meet the Lord. So first is, on the toe of the Lord, there is the symbol of chakra. So Sudarshan, the chakra symbol is there on the toe of the Lord, just on the back side. So when one meditates on the feet of the Lord, especially on this chakra, on the toe, then the mind has enemies, 6 enemies, which are lust, greed, anger, and etc. They are destroyed. The chakra cuts these attachments. Like the chakra can cut the attachments. So same way, when we meditate on the feet of the Lord, it cuts these 6 attachments. And then there is the lotus. At the middle finger of the Krishna's feet, there is this lotus. And this lotus flower, now our eagerness to enjoy is being cut away. But if we don't have attraction towards the Lord, then we will be nowhere. So this lotus, whenever a bee sees a lotus, it becomes intensely attracted. Because all other flowers have very small nectar. But a lotus is filled with nectar. So as soon as a bee sees, it immediately goes there. The same way, all of us are looking for happiness, and mind is trying to give us happiness through all these enemies like lust, anger, greed. They are giving us very small pleasure, but at a huge price. Say you get a rasgulla, but the price of rasgulla is 1 lakh rupees. It is too much to pay for 1 rasgulla. So the Lord's form, it also simultaneously gives us eagerness to approach the Lord, to cut our attachments, and eagerness to approach the Lord. Because just like the bee gets attracted to the nectar, we get attracted to the pleasures which are there. But what about our past? In the past, we have never tried to approach our friend. We have so many sins accumulated. The crime record is huge. There is a huge crime record of this John Urban or ourselves, of committing so many sinful activities. And it is compared to a mountain. our the sins which we have committed, all the stock is compared to like a mountain. And how can a mountain is destroyed? Sometimes they try to put dynamites. They put dynamites and they run away. But the natural way is when a thunderbolt comes and strikes this mountain, the mountain cracks up and it becomes into small boulders. The same way, when we meditate on the feet of the Lord, there is another symbol of thunderbolt on the extreme right of the Lord Krishna's feet, which destroys the mountain of sins which are there in our, you know, all the past record which is there, that is destroyed. And there is a symbol of goad, through which the elephant is controlled. So that represents that if we meditate on the feet of the Lord, then our mind is controlled. Like Ravana was fearing that if I meditate on Lord Ram, then my propensity to enjoy Sita will go away. So same way, our greed towards the world will only go when we meditate on the Lord. If we just try to become good without God, it is zero. Like good minus God equals zero. Like the only zero is left. Same way, we cannot be good without having this conception of universal fatherhood. There cannot be universal brotherhood without universal father, accepting universal father. So like that, this is the process how we can break the barriers and meet our forgotten friend. And finally, go. And then, once we meet our friend, he will take us back to our real city, the city of light, knowledge and bliss, which exists forever in the spiritual world. So we all aspire to go there. So this is a short summary of this purports. And any questions or any comments would like to make? Buddhi could guide, like the Buddhi is the intelligence. It guides one, but as long as the mind is the barrier, because the mind was strong, and that's why I told when we meditate on the feet of the Lord, the mind's attachments are cut. Then it starts obeying the intelligence. Now the mind, like I didn't tell the whole story, where the mind, he tries to go, but the mind tells him, like the mantra tells Kaikeyi that this Ram is your enemy. The same way, our mind keeps telling that God is our enemy. He is not your well-wisher. So to make the mind weak and intelligence strong, to hear the intelligence, the Buddhi, we have to take this Dhyanena, the process of meditation and association of devotees. So then we can come over the agitations of the mind. And we can meet the forgotten friend. So thank you very much for your kind audience. Grantha Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.